Good evening, everyone. You're listening to Great Songs About Nothing Good on WMFO in Medford. I'm Mr. Shoes. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'd also like to say thank you to our substitute lead-ins in that past hour, Nick and Andy, playing some of the finest jams found in this country or perhaps any other country. And let's see what I got coming up. Coming up, we got a lot of fun for you tonight. We're going to be playing some Animals later. I know they played Animals in the last hour, but damn it, it's a good song, and people deserve more of that particular Animals song. Now we're going to have some Isley Brothers, some Elvis Costello. We're getting things started off with some Billy Bragg. Saw Mr. Billy Bragg last night at the Wilbur with Joe Henry, a very fine, intimate acoustic set, and rave reviews all around, and we can't wait to see him back in this part of the Northeast Corridor again. Anyway, enough of my blather. Have some Bragg.
To be sleeping here in this room, surely you're my reason to get out of bed before noon. Surely you know when we sat out on the fire escape talking. Surely what did you say about running before we were walking? Sometimes when we consciousness, it's like we're in a dream. How can you lie there and think of England when you don't even know who's in the team? Surely sexual politics has left me all of a muddle. Surely we're joined in the ideological cuddle. I'm celebrating my love for you with a pint of beer and a new tattoo. And if you haven't noticed yet, I'm more impressionable when my cement is wet. Empty our glasses. How I love those evening classes. Surely you really know how to make a young man angry. Surely can we get through the night without mentioning family? The people from your church agree. Okay.
peaceful oasis. You got it, you got it. This was a Pizza Hut, now it's all covered with daisies. You got it, you got it. I miss the honky tonks, Dairy Queens and 7-Elevens. You got it, you got it. And as things fell apart, nobody paid much attention. You got it, you got it.
Talking Heads, Nothing But Flowers, from their final album, Naked. We had the song When You're Young by The Atlantics, a long-forgotten local Boston-area power pop group of yesteryear, from a compilation titled Power Pop Singles Demos 1977 to 1982, found here in WMFO's very own Stacks of Wax, although in this case it would be stacks of CDs, which are in fact petroleum-based, much like the vinyl. Anyhow, we start off with Billy Bragg, Greenstone New Burnett, from Talking with the Taxman about poetry and tea, and it was subtitled The Difficult Third Album. Nothing difficult about it. In fact, it is fantastic. And moving right along, we have some of this stuff.
WMFO, we like to ask the important questions, such as, why Freeform? Well, it's been our tradition now for 45 years, and none of us here want to see that change anytime soon. Do you? If not, we need your help to keep WMFO Freeform by contributing to our annual donations drive. Anytime before April 13th, go over to donate.wmfo.org to support us in reaching our $5,000 goal. You will even receive a unique thank you gift. To see more about what our DJs have to say about keeping WMFO Freeform, visit facebook.com/WMFO Medford. That's facebook.com/WMFO Medford.
Loving you is a big crime. I've been guilty of my
Clash with Rock the Casbah, and before that, Elvis Costello and the Attractions, I Stand Accused from Get Happy, and we start off with Pretty in Pink, Psychedelic Furs, and that's going to bring us to the bottom of the hour, but I'm not going to give you a legally mandated PSA, not yet anyway, because I don't have the binder in front of me. But to hold you over until then, I'll give you a cautionary tale, indeed, it's some light reading.
Waldo Jeffers had reached his limit. It was now mid-August. Jumenti had been separated from Marcia for more than 2 months. 2 months, all he had to show were three dog-eared letters and two very expensive long-distance phone calls. True, when school had ended and she'd returned to Wisconsin, due to Locust, Pennsylvania, she had sworn to maintain a certain fidelity. She would date occasionally, but merely as amusement. She would remain faithful. But lately, Waldo had begun to worry. He had trouble sleeping at nights, and when he did, he had horrible dreams. He lay awake at night, tossing and turning underneath his pleated quilt protector, tears welling in his eyes as he pictured Marcia, her sworn vows overcome by liquor and the smooth soothings of some Neanderthal, finally submitting to the final caresses of sexual oblivion. It was more than the human mind could bear. Visions of Marcia's faithlessness haunted him. Daytime fantasies of sexual abandon permeated his thoughts. And the thing was, they wouldn't understand how she really was. He, Waldo, alone understood this. He had intuitively grasped every nook and cranny of her psyche. He'd made her smile. She needed him. He wasn't there. The idea came to him on the Thursday before the Mama's parade was scheduled to appear. He just finished mowing and edging the Adelson's lawn for $1.50, and I checked the mailbox to see if there was at least a working marshal. There was nothing but a circular from the Amalgamated Union Company of America inquiring into his own needs. At least they cared enough to write. It was a New York company. You could go anywhere in the mails. Then it struck him. He didn't have enough money to go to Wisconsin in the accepted fashion, true. But why not mail himself? It was absurd to see. He would ship himself parcel post special delivery. The next day, Waldo went to the supermarket to purchase the necessary equipment. He bought masking tape, a staple gun, and a medium-sized cardboard box just right for a person of his build. He judged that with a minimum of jostling, he could ride quite comfortably. A few air holes, some water, a personal made snacks, and it would probably be as good as going tourist. By Friday afternoon, Waldo was set. He was thoroughly packed and the post office had agreed to pick him up at 3 o'clock. He'd marked the package fragile, and as he sat curled up inside, resting on a foam rubber cushioning he thoughtfully favored, he tried to picture the look of awe and happiness on Marcia's face as she opened the door, saw the package, tipped the deliverer, and then opened it to see her Waldo finally there in person. She would kiss him, and then maybe they could see a movie. If he'd only thought of this before. Suddenly, rough hands gripped his package, and he felt himself borne up. He landed with a thud in the truck and was off. Marsha Bronson had just finished setting her hair. It had been a very rough weekend. She had to remember not to drink like that. Bill had been nice about it, though. After it was over, he said he still respected her, and after all, it was certainly the way of nature, and even though, no, he didn't love her, he did feel an affection for her. And after all, they were grown adults. Oh, and Bill could teach Barbara. But that seemed many years ago. Sheila Klein, her very, very best friend, walked in through the porch screen door and into the kitchen. Oh God, it's absolutely maudlin outside. Ah, I know what you mean. I feel all the heat. Marsha tightened the belt on her cotton robe with the silk outer edge. Sheila ran her finger over some salt grains on the kitchen table, licked her finger and made a face. I'm supposed to be taking these salt pills, but she winked at her nose. They make me feel like throwing up. Marsha started to pat herself on the chin, an exercise she'd seen on television. God, don't even talk about that. She got up from the table and went to the sink where she picked up a bottle of pink and blue vitamins. Want one? Supposed to be better than steak. And then attempted to touch her nose. I don't think I'll ever touch a daiquiri again. She gave up and sat down, this time near to the small table that supported the telephone. Maybe Bill will call, she said to Sheila's glass. Sheila nibbled on the cookie. After last night, I thought maybe you'd be through with him. I know what you mean. My God, he's like an octopus, hands all over the place. She gestured, raising her arms upward in defense. The thing is, after a while, you get tired of fighting with him, you know? And after all, I didn't really do anything Friday and Saturday, so I kind of owed it to him. You know what I mean? She started to scratch. Sheila was giggling with a hand over her mouth. I tell you, I felt the same way. And even after a while, she bent forward and whispered, I wanted to. Now she was laughing very loudly. It was at this point that Mr. Jameson of the Clarence Darrow Post Office rang the doorbell of the large sticker-covered frame house. When Marsha Bronson opened the door, he helped her carry the package in. He had his yellow and his green slips of paper signed and left with a 15-cent tip that Marsha had gotten out of her mother's small beige pocketbook in the den. What do you think it is? Sheila asked. Marsha stood with her arms folded behind her back. She stared at the brown cardboard carton that sat in the middle of the room. I don't know. Inside the package, Waldo quivered with excitement as he listened to the muffled voices. Sheila ran her fingernail over the masking tape that ran down the center of the carton. Why don't you look at the return address and see who it's from? Waldo felt his heart beating. He could feel the vibrating footsteps. It would be soon. Marsha walked around the carton and read the ink-scratched label. Oh, God, it's from Waldo. That schmuck, said Sheila. Waldo trembled with expectation. Well, you might as well open it, said Sheila. Both of them tried to lift the stapled flap. Said Marsha. You must have nailed it shut. They tugged on the flap again. My God, you need a power drill to get this thing open. They pulled again. Can't get a grip. They both stood still, breathing heavily. Why don't you get a scissor, said Sheila. Marsha ran into the kitchen, but all she could find was a little sewing scissor. Then she remembered that her father kept a collection of tools in the basement. She ran downstairs, and when she came back up, she had a large sheet metal cutter in her hand. This is the best I could find, she told her friend. Here, you do it. I'm gonna die. She sank into a large fluffy couch and exhaled noisily. Sheila tried to make a slit between the masking tape and the end of the cardboard flap. The blade was too big and there wasn't enough room. God damn this thing, she said, feeling very exasperated. Then smiling, I got an idea. What, said Marsha. Just watch, said Sheila, touching her finger to her head. Inside the package, Waldo was so transfixed with excitement that he barely breathed. His skin fell quickly from the heat, and he could feel his heart beating in his throat. It would be soon. Sheila stood quite upright and walked around to the other side of the package. Then she sank down to her knees, grasped the cutter by both handles, took a deep breath and plunged the long blade through the middle of the package, through the masking tape, through the cardboard, through the cushioning, and right through the center of Waldo Jeffers' head, which split slightly and caused little rhythmic arcs of red to pulsate gently in the morning sun.
And that was The Gift with the Velvet Underground and the dulcet Welsh tones of John Cale giving us a cautionary yarn. I'm sure J. Waldo Weatherman would have something to say about it, but darn if I can think of it now. Anyway, let's have ourselves a legally mandated PSA, and it is, the outdoor exercise PSA. Autumn brings some of the most beautiful days of the year to New England. If you haven't been getting out all the exercise you should, now is the perfect time to get outside and walk, run, or ride a bike. Use your feet to go places instead of your car. Enjoy the fall colors, breathe the fresh air, reduce stress, and improve your health. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio. All right, what next? Okay, we're going to get things a bit more of a peppy step after that really, really uplifting tale. It's some Hank Williams.
Goodbye, Joe. Me gotta go. Me, oh my, oh. Me gotta go. Pull the P-Row down the bayou. My Yvonne, the sweetest one. Me, oh my, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou. Jambalaya and a crawfish pie and a filet gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna see Mama Shazamio. Pick guitar, fill fruit jar and be gay, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou. Knows the place is buzzing. Kinfolk come to see Yvonne by the dozen. Dress in style and go hog wild. Me, oh my, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou. Jambalaya, a crawfish pie and a filet gumbo. See Mama Shazamio. Pick guitar, fill fruit jar and be gay, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou. Mama shares a meal. Pick guitar, fill fruit jar and be gay, oh. Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou.
The Animals, House of the Rising Sun, from the best of The Animals, Hank Ballard and the Midnighters, Let's Go, Let's Go, Let's Go, and Hank Williams' Jambalaya on the Bayou. And that brings us into the last quarter hour here of Great Songs But Nothing Good on WMFO in Medford. So before I get into this next set, a word about the first artist. Let's talk about Stan Rogers, if only for a little bit. You know, Canada's given us a lot of the great folk artists. Your Gordon Lightfoots, your Neil Youngs, your Joni Mitchells, your, I don't know if it was a group that wrote, you know, The Night Chicago Died. Maybe they were from Canada, but that song's not very great, so it kind of undercuts my argument. But anyway, Stan Rogers was a very good folk singer from Canada, from the Maritimes, and his song Northwest Passage is a mainstay of the Canadian campfire songbook along with Circle Game by Joni Mitchell. But anyway, this is another song from that album, and it's just a lovely, lovely voice, a good maritime accent. Anyway, here's Stan Rogers.
Now it's getting so I'm mad when someone says your name, 'cause I've had to say goodbye to friends who couldn't stay away. And sometimes it felt so wrong to never want to lean on you. You may stand tall, but I've got 2 feet too. Now they talk of you in bars around quiet beer, tell their tales of mind-gone stones when no one else can hear. And later on outside they say they're getting on a plane to fly away and live in you again. California, my friends all call you home. And if you take away another, I'll be that much more alone. Is it my fault that my kind are always drawn toward the sun, like a child to home whenever darkness comes? I won't remember what it was to play the music of old friends who need to live so far away. But can I once taste northern waters, then forsake them for the south, to feel California's ashes in my mouth? California, my friends all call you home. And if you take away another, I'll be that much more alone. Is it my fault that my kind are always drawn toward the sun, like a child to home whenever darkness comes? Oh, California, my friends all call you home. And if you take away another, I'll be that much more alone. Is it my fault that my kind are always drawn toward the sun, like a child to home whenever dark is come, like a child going home
whenever darkness comes.
The Dubliners with the immortal Ronnie Drew on vocals, The Parting Glass from the Drinking and Courtin' LP, Isley Brothers, Love the One You're With from Giving It Back, and yes, that version is superior in every way to the Stephen Stills version. I have scientific evidence backing this up, so, you know, don't test me. And we started off with Stan Rogers, California from Northwest Passage, which brings us to the end of yet another rousing thrills, spills, and chills-filled edition of Great Songs But Nothing Good on WMFO in Medford. I'm Mr. Shoes. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tune in next week, why don't you, when we'll have more of the same, but slightly different. God bless.
What your mouth don't say, baby, your thighs do. I want us to arrive together. I love it when the weather is wet and sticky. Some depict me as being conscious. Yeah, I'd use my head. It was you that fed my appetite for seduction. Biting and cussing, making love and touching when no one has ever touched before. The heat got you open like an oven door because of your innocence. Even more, you'll remember this hardcore gentleness. Before you wasn't into this. On the ride, your freak became limitless. Holding on to the night and me tight as we write on the walls. A story called Go. And receive it with openness. Emotions just spill. I'm giving you something that you can feel. It's hard to stay still. Rubbing your desires up against mine. I feel you shaking. I'm thinking that it's time. My fingers on the hook of your neck. Deep in your eyes is a look of respect. Soft, wet, brown sugar mixed with cinnamon. Said you learning to trust men again. But this is love, made unselfish. Made for you to feel empowered at the same time helpless. You dealt with a lot in your screams and moans. There's something about